This does not apply to me. I don't even have a smartphone. I don't even know what that is. I have an unsmartphone, as my father tells me all the time. He does not want one of those because he's a dummy. That's what he tells me every time I talk to him. He says, only smart people can have those, and I'm not. So my father maintains his flip phone straight out of the early 1990s and will not change. My mother, on the other hand, has decided that a smartphone is exactly what she needs, which I told her, Mom, you're 67. At this point, a smartphone is probably not your best bet. You don't want to pay for it, first of all. And second of all, Mom, I'm going to have to spend more time telling you how to use it than you're going to actually be able to use it. But she's bound and determined. She wants one. I told her, I said, well, you understand there are some pros and cons to having one of those. And that conversation sparked something that Jimmy and I had talked about last year during the summer. And that was the need to talk to you as parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, neighbors, friends, about something that has increasingly become a problem. Many of you could probably go back in time and think of the things that were very tempting when you were a teenager. A lot of people, when I started doing some research for this, I was looking at some comparative analysis of some things that have impacted society, like technology and smartphones and those kinds of things. And one of the things that immediately came up was television. And many of you can probably remember living in a house that did not have a color television. My dad always tells me about, you know, son, you don't understand. We had a black and white television that had one channel. And if you weren't standing in the right spot, you didn't even have that one channel. Because, you know, the reception was so spotty out where they lived. And within just a matter of 10, 15 years, you know, it seemed like everybody had a color television set. Nowadays, they're making them so thin that basically you can't even see them from the side, and they're making them curved, and they're all these different things. And now you can basically buy a television that is almost as, it seems like it's almost as big as a movie theater screen for less than $1,000. So I was doing some comparative analysis, and they were talking about the change in American culture following the TV set going into most everyone's homes in the 1970s, 60s and 70s. It really doesn't even touch the hem of the garment, so to speak, of what's going on right now in your house and in the houses of your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, etc. I went back even further and I looked at the advent of the radio. When the radio became something that you could get, a transistor radio, something you could actually hear other programming on. And I was reading some things and some articles and some comparisons, and I started reading about the radio and the television and today, modern day. And I'm going to tell you what, it was pretty scary information to read. Did you know that the first time a curse word was ever heard was in the movie Gone with the Wind? It was the first time a curse word was ever used in a movie. Even on the radio, they were not allowed on the radio, period. A station was actually in danger of losing its credentials if they allowed any type of curse word on their airwaves. Do what now? It was the very last word, right? You remember? You've seen the movie. It's the very last spoken word of the movie, and it was like you've made it through 4.5 hours or 10 hours or however long that movie is, because it is forever long. And you thought, what a great story. And then what did we all think when you first heard it? Why did they have to go and put that in there? How many times have you said that over the last 15, 20, 30 years? Why did they have to put that in there? They could have made that whole movie. Rhett Butler could have walked out that door, and he didn't have to say that. He could have said anything else, and he would have still made the same impact. It would have still had the same meaning. Ever since then, television shows, movies, songs, even radio morning DJs have begun experimenting, if you will, with foul language. Now, I'll be completely honest with you. If that were the only thing that were going on was foul language, then to be honest with you, there would be no reason for me to talk about what I'm going to talk about tonight, if that's all it was. Because you and I could sit down with our kids individually and we could say, hey, listen, you don't need to be listening to music that has this type of lyric in it. You don't need to be watching television shows or movies that have these types of words in them. Well, you know as well as I do, that's not where it stopped. All of a sudden, it began to be commonplace for more and more skin to be shown, movies, TV. The lyrics began to be more and more violent in nature, more aggressive in nature, more sexual in nature. We began to tout drug abuse as something that was cool to do for the modern day generation. We began to tout alcohol abuse as though it was something that everyone else was doing. And before you know it, my generation, I'm 32 years old, my generation, we were driving into our school parking lots listening to music that we had no business listening to, telling us that we should be using drugs on every weekend. If we weren't, then there was something wrong with us. If we should be abusing alcohol every weekend, if we weren't, there was something wrong with us. We were going to movie theaters and watching movies that were rated R, age 17 and older, right? That traditionally, if you go back in time, go back to the 1950s, would have never seen the light of day because people would have called them pornographic material. And yet now, you can walk to the movie theater tonight, and you can watch PG-13 movies that were R-rated movies when I was in high school. So what's the point? Here's the point. There is, right now, a war going on in your kids. There's a war going on inside of your grandchildren. There's a war going on in every single hallway of every single school that you know of, that you're familiar with. If you don't believe me, when my wife comes in here after class is over, please ask her. My wife is a technology facilitator for Johnson Elementary and Piney Chapel Elementary. I could spend the entirety of our time tonight telling you story after story after story of what she has seen and had to call in over the last 2 years. Now, if she worked for two high schools, you might say, well, that's high school, that's teenagers. But she works with third and fourth graders. And I could tell you story after story tonight of third and fourth graders and what they're searching for on Google. The pictures that they are looking at home that she now gets a report of when they log back onto the network. Third and fourth graders. So I think you understand why this is important. This is the battleground for the new digital age. It's social media and it's technology. I've been doing research now for almost 2 years on a lot of different apps and a lot of different things that are out there. And what I want to do tonight really quickly is I want to click through about 8 different apps that, honestly, they are the most dangerous thing you can have on your phone. If your kids have them, I'm begging you tonight to delete them. First of all, let me say this before we begin. Unless your kid is paying for that phone, and even if they are, if they live in your house, that's your property. Just a word to our parents in here, you are a parent. God gave you that job. You are a parent. You are not their best friend. You are not somebody that they hang out with. You are a parent, which is both a title and a job. I've been doing this now for 13 years. I've been in youth ministry for 13 years. I've been in the school hallways for 10. And I can tell you that one of the biggest problems that we have right now with teenagers is that their parents are their friend and not their parent. I can take you right now to Madison Academy, right, a Christian school. I can take you to the hallways and I can show you the kids that are abusing drugs and alcohol in front of their parents because their parents say, I would rather them do it with me in the room than do it somewhere else and perhaps wind up dying in a car wreck somewhere. I can show you the kids. I can actually introduce you to them. At Madison Academy, guess what, guys? They're at ABS, too. They're at Morris Hill Bible School in Florence. This is the battleground for your kids. And unless you take it seriously, they won't. Unless you take it seriously, they won't. Guys, we've got plenty of educators in here, people that have been in education longer than I have. And they can take you to the day when it all started changing. It was the day when it became commonplace for every kid to have a cell phone. That's when it all started changing. Are you wrong for buying your child a cell phone? No. If you heard that tonight, then you heard the wrong thing. What's wrong is too many kids are being handed a brand new iPhone for Christmas. And they're being told that they can do whatever they want because it's their phone. And they're doing exactly what you think they're doing. Just a couple of thoughts before we get rolling here. Relationships are now harder because conversations become texting, arguments become phone calls, and feelings become status updates. It's harder and harder for our kids. It's harder and harder for our adults, hello, to be adults and have a conversation with a kid. To watch two kids try to talk to each other nowadays is painful to me. It literally hurts me. For two real reasons. Number one, because they're horrible at it. They're really, really bad at it. I stand outside of my classroom and literally what I hear is not really a conversation as much as it's sort of some grunts and some these syllables that just sort of fall out of their mouth. And they kind of look at each other and then they laugh and walk away. And it hurts me. They're so bad at it. Secondly, it's really bad because it makes me upset because I remember what it was like. You guys do too. You remember what it was like when there was a girl you liked at your school and you would muster up the courage to go and talk to her. And your palms are sweaty, your knees are knocking just to say the word hi. And then she would look at you, her palms sweaty, her knees knocking, and she would say hi back, and it was the greatest moment of your entire life, right then and there. Our kids don't know that anymore. I polled my classes the last 2 years, in my sociology class. I polled them the last 2 years, and one of the questions that I asked them was, how many of you have asked a person out verbally in an actual conversation? Last 2 years, I've had somewhere in the neighborhood of 140 kids. At Madison Academy, okay, 140 kids last 2 years. You know how many of them told me that they had asked a person out or gone out on a date because of a verbal conversation? 3 out of 140. My next question is, how many of you have gone out on a date or gone out with somebody via text? 131. See, our kids nowadays communicate via that thing that is attached to their hand. You see the thing in the yellow? I didn't even know this was a statistic. It's a scary one. 91% of mobile users keep their phone within 3 feet of themselves at all time. 91%. You think about how many mobile users there are out there in the world. Every person has a cell phone. If you don't, God bless you. Fight the good fight, man. Go down swinging. When my parents got cell phones, I thought it had to be the apocalypse. It had to be over. It was Armageddon. My parents they were the ones that were standing on that hill with the flag planted. We will never have a cell phone. And then my dad got a good plan, and he decided he wanted one. 91%. Some 360 million people now living in the United States of America alone. 360 million people. How many of those do you think are mobile users? I would venture to guess somewhere in the neighborhood of probably 359 million. No, just about 300 million probably. 91% of them keep their device 3 feet from them at all times. The Einstein quote I just had to throw in here because I just think it's apropos. I fear the day that technology will surpass our human interaction. The world will have a generation of idiots. Were there cell phones when Albert Einstein was walking around? No. Albert Einstein said, I fear the day when technology surpasses human interaction, because then our world will have a generation of idiots. I'm not calling your kids idiots. I'm not calling you idiots. Don't take it that way. I'm just telling you there's a war. And if you're not prepared for it, I got bad news for you. You're going to be having some conversations with your kids and your grandkids and your nieces and your nephews. You're going to hear about conversations from your neighbors. You're going to hear about conversations from your friends at the coffee table that you don't want to be a part of. Let me take you through some of the dangers, okay? And I'm going to be very specific because I do want you to grab your kid's phone tonight when you get home. And so let me check it out real quick. I just want to look at something. Okay, now most of the kids are in here, so they know. Okay, so they're probably right now. Maybe some of them are frantically moving some stuff around. Maybe, hopefully not. But if you see these on your kid's phone, you need to immediately question them as to why they have it. It's just that simple. If you have these on your phone and you're a grown person, I can't tell you to get rid of them. I can't make you do that. But I do want you to understand the perception that's out there of some of these. Number one, there's an app called Whisper. I don't know if you're familiar with this. And by the way, I have all this information. If you want it, all you got to do is ask for it. I'll be more than happy to make you a bunch of copies and give it to you. Okay, this is 2 years worth of research. Okay, you may not know what Whisper is. You may not be able to read all that. I'm going to tell you what it says. Whisper is an app that allows you to post secrets anonymously and also allows you to chat with other users in your geographic area. Sounds all well and good. By the way, if you can see that picture on the left, here's what that picture says. It says, "What I tell my friends," and it's the top of the iceberg. And then under the water is the rest of the iceberg, and it says, "What I share on Whisper." You tell me why it's dangerous. I wonder. Many children are drawn to communicating with strangers through this app, feeling their secrets are safer with them than with their friends. This app is a perfect tool for ill-intentioned strangers looking to connect with young people because it allows you to exchange messages with people nearest to you. So anonymity can be easily lost in a matter of messages. Number two, and these names, I'm sorry, these names are idiotic, they're moronic, they're sophomoric, but I didn't develop the app. It's called Yik Yak. Now, I don't think you can see that because it's very, very small, but you can see that this is an app intended for, if you ever get on the app store, you'll notice that some of the apps have an age. It's intended for this age plus. Yik Yak is intended for 17-year-old people plus. It's not used by 17-year-olds only and older. It's used by even some as young as 11, one researcher found. All Yik Yak users are anonymous. They don't create a profile or an account, but they can post comments that are accessible to the nearest 500 people within, listen now, a 1 to 5 mile radius. A psychiatrist that studied this app said it's the most dangerous app he's ever seen because, and I quote, "It can turn a school into a virtual chat room where everyone can post his or her comments anonymously. Untruthful, mean, character assassinating short messages are immediately seen by all users in a specific geographic area." Again, the danger should be in that description alone. This app is causing major problems in schools all across the United States of America. As a matter of fact, several schools have now banned smartphones from their campus because of this app. Number three, Kick. Looks harmless enough, right? Just a cool little app there, a cool little picture. It's a free app-based alternative texting service that allows texts and pictures to be sent without being logged in the phone's history. Uh-oh. You see the loophole, don't you? So you're telling me I can send a message and nobody will ever know. Yeah, exactly. Makes it very easy for your child to talk to strangers without your knowledge because not only does it not log it in the phone's history, it actually bypasses the wireless provider's SMS, the short message service, that logs every short message that's sent from those phones. It bypasses that. The app actually has code in it to bypass your wireless customer, their SMS service. In addition, strangers can actually send your child a friend request. How many of us would just go to the mall and let anybody take our kid and walk around with them? Anybody? How many of you going to walk into Walmart and just say, "Here, honey, just go walk with that weird-looking dude over there for a little while"? Anybody? No. No, Scott, that's stupid. That's idiotic. problem is, in bedrooms and houses all over this country tonight, there will be the exact same thing taking place via digital messaging. The equivalent will be taking place tonight. This one's probably going to hurt a little bit because a lot of people have this app. I found Snapchat to be one of the most dangerous apps out there for a couple of reasons. First of all, Snapchat, if you don't know, Snapchat is you take a picture of yourself, you send it to somebody, but you put a time limit on it. And after a certain number of seconds, say 4 seconds, 6 seconds, 2 seconds, that picture is deleted and it's gone forever, the app proclaims. Those of you that work with computers, work with programming, you know as well as I do, anything that's sent wirelessly goes somewhere. And it doesn't just disappear. Snapchat has been around now for a little over 3 years, I believe. And in those 3 years, they have had countless hacks. And people's pictures show up online that supposedly were gone forever. So first of all, it's dangerous in the sense that your children now can receive or send sexually explicit, inappropriate photos. It's dangerous because they think that it disappears. We actually had this happen last year at Madison Academy, believe it or not. We had a student that had to leave Madison Academy. She sent a picture to her boyfriend on Snapchat. She put 2 seconds as the time limit on it. Guess what he did as soon as he opened it? He took a screenshot. Proceeded then to show it to all of his friends. As you can imagine, she was mortified. She admitted to her parents that that had happened. Now, this is where the story takes a real sharp left turn. Her parents showed up at Madison Academy to speak with our principal and said, and I quote, "If we want to, we can take down the whole baseball team." Wait a minute. You don't want to talk about the punishment for your child? No, no, no. We'll handle that. We are coming for the guys. Needless to say, it was probably her best interest to leave the school. A lot of people have this app. A lot of people use this app for completely harmless things. They send goofy pictures back and forth, but you know as well as I do, it's like a lot of things. When used inappropriately, it can become a major, major problem. Number five is one called Vine. Now, Vine, on the outset, I thought this one's kind of silly to be up on this list because there's just, you go to Vine, you watch funny videos, that's what happens. It's not that big a deal. And then I started doing some research and you find kind of the flip side of the coin and you go, wow, okay, I didn't know. I had no idea. What can happen on Vine is if your child has this on their phone, when they pull it up, they can have things called suggested for you videos. If your child has clicked on anything that might be even mildly inappropriate, then the suggested for you takes a very inappropriate turn. You can search on Vine for videos like that. It becomes very dangerous because of things that can pop up. And you say, well, my kids, well, your kids might be the kids that don't ever look at that kind of stuff, but you know what? You still don't want it being thrown in front of their face. These were two that I was not familiar with, still not familiar with, but I had not heard of these. Chat Roulette and Omegle, these are two apps that are video chat services. I'd never heard of these, and so I started doing some research on them, and it's scary. It's frightening. Basically, what it is your child turns on their webcam at their house and video chats with some stranger. I come to find out there in a big news story about a year ago, one of these services, I don't remember which, but one of these services was actually having people that were posing as like there were 50-year-old men on there posing as 15-year-old boys. And they were using hack software to hack the webcam of the person they were talking to. Like, this was one that kind of floored me. I had to sit down. I was like, this is insanity. But did you know that there are approximately some 250,000 people out there right now with this app on their phone? I had no idea. I'm a school teacher. You would think that this is kind of some of the stuff that I would have heard of. Never heard of this one. It scared me. Absolutely scared me to death. I got a 6-year-old little girl, okay? In 10 years, see, that little girl's going to be 16. I don't even want to know if this is out now, what is 10 years going to look like? Can scare you a little bit. The last two, one, this is Tinder. You've probably seen these commercials. This is one of the ones that's been around the longest. Tinder, it was intended, no pun intended, it was intended to be a friendship app. Basically, you go on, you find people that are in your area, kind of a way for single people that are in their 20s and 30s to maybe meet some people that are in their area that they didn't know were single, that kind of thing. That was the idea behind it. As we all know, the world takes things and twists it a lot of times. Now it's become an app that basically suggests that there's going to be a sexual relationship between the two people. It is assumed, it's implied. And all it takes is, apparently on this app, all it takes is you just swipe. And when you swipe, that gives that person a thumbs up, basically, that you like that person, you're attracted to that person. And if they go on and they look at your picture and they swipe you and give you a thumbs up, then it's assumed that you two are going to hook up later. I thought, man, that can't be that big a deal. I think it was in Georgia. I can't remember which state exactly. Georgia, I believe, they had high school students that were busted at school using this app to try and hook up with people during the day. Then the last one is probably the scariest one of all. It's an app called Poof. You think, oh, well, look, that looks kind of like a little game. I mean, you look at the app, the design, the logo, looks like a game of some kind. Let me assure you, it is not a game. If you see the app called Poof on your child's phone, you immediately need to have a very strongly worded conversation with that child. The app Poof makes apps disappear. If you have Poof and you turn it on, basically any app that I just listed, of the 7 that I just listed, can be hidden on your child's phone using this app. So you wouldn't know that it's there. They can use it as they want to, whenever they want to. And all they got to do is turn this app on and it goes away. You can't see it. Nobody else can see it. It's gone. Now, I will give you a quick update. Rachel and I were talking on our way here. This app now has been transformed and it's actually a calculator app. So a lot of kids now have a second calculator app on their phone that is this app. So you know how on your phone, if you pulled your phone out right now and you looked, you have a calculator. It comes with the phone, right? It's already loaded on there. There are kids that have a second calculator app somewhere else on the phone. Well, that second calculator app is not a calculator at all. It's actually the app known as Poof. So to you, to the uninformed, which you're not anymore, but to the uninformed, they would just think, well, that's kind of weird. They have two calculators on the phone, but whatever. They must have just really wanted another calculator. I don't know. That calculator must be really cool. Secretly, what they're doing is they're hiding it. I'll tell you one more thing, and then I'm going to move on to the second part of what we want to talk about tonight. Rachel came home today, and she knew this is what I was going to talk about tonight. She said, okay, let me tell you about what we've just found out. She can't remember the name of the app. It's brand new. Just came out in the last couple of weeks. It's a simulation app, which basically, if you don't know, basically you become a person on this computer screen. And they're very popular. They're very, very popular. And a lot of them are harmless. You can actually find these on any iPad, any phone, anywhere. There's a whole company, a whole game set called Sims. EA makes it. Electronic Arts, which is one of the biggest video game companies in the world, it makes an entire line of games called Sims. and they have Sim City, they have Sim Roller Coaster, they have, you know, they have all these different things. Well, now there's a new one that is not attached to those particular groups. But it is a simulation app, and basically what you do is you go on, it's intended for, guess what? It's intended for 18 years old or older. The reason why my wife knows about it is because one of the other technology facilitators at one of the schools here in Limestone County found out that her third graders were playing this game. Now, I don't know about you, but third grade is not 18. If it is, then bless your heart. Her third graders were playing this game, and they were creating avatars of themselves, simulated images of themselves on these games. What this game does is it puts you in this little sim world and real people who are pretending to be other little simulated images come up to you and ask if they can meet you. Can they find you? Can they see you? Can they talk to you? This is my name on this app. This is my name on this social media. Follow me here and talk to me here. And this lady found out that there were 7 of her 9-year-old third grade students that were being approached by 40 and 50-year-old men. Now, do you understand? I don't want to talk down to you. I have no desire to do that. I'm not that smart, trust me. But do you understand that this is the battlefield of which we are going to have to fight on? We can no longer sit back and allow these kids to simply walk off into the world making their own decisions at 14 and 15 years old. You say, well, you know what? My kid won't have any social media of any kind. I got bad news for you. We don't really have a choice. You say, well, I do. I'm going to put the iron fist down in my house and they will not have... Trust me. They will have it. Trust me. If it means they got to use a friend's phone, if that means they got to use another computer, they are going to get on social media. This man, Eric Qualman, is a sociologist. And he said, we don't really have a choice on whether we do social media or not. What we do have to worry about is how well we do it. So my question is then, well, what about these apps that you didn't mention, Scott? What about these apps that I use every day? What about Twitter? What about Facebook? The ones that I've heard of. Come on, Scott. What about the ones that I've heard of? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Are you telling me that those are evil, that those are of the devil? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. What I'm trying to do tonight is I'm trying to give you information. I'm trying to give you, as I tell my kids all the time, I try to give you ammunition. Because if you're going to have to fight this war, you better fight it with ammunition. And you better have the right ammunition. You better have the right ammunition. You better know this stuff. Because this is 2 years of work. This is 2014 to 2016. By 2020, everything that I just told you is outdated. Everything I just told you is outdated. So you ask yourself a question. You look in the mirror and you ask yourself a question. Do you want your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, your neighbors, the kids here at church? How about that? Let's make it real, real personal. But the kids that you see running around. How about Tucker Wright? How about Carabeth Wright? You want those kids wandering off into a world where you just say, you know what, I don't even know any of this stuff, so maybe they'll figure it out. Do you want that to happen? Because I don't. I don't want your kids, your grandkids, etc. I don't want them walking out into a world where I just said, well, you know what, I don't really know any of this stuff, so hey, good luck, kids. Hope you figure it out. Guess what? That's happening every single day in households all over. Forget the United States of America. That's happening in households all over Limestone County, today. Parents are saying, I don't know anything about these apps on your phone. I don't know anything about the smartphone. I don't know anything about your iPad. I don't know anything about what you do on your computer when you go to bed at night. I go to bed. Hey, listen, just as long as you go to bed by 10:30, you know, and kids are shutting the door of their bedroom and kids are operating on phones, iPads, and computers every night completely and totally without any fear of repercussion for what they're doing. On a lighter note, I do want to give you some advice tonight. Because social media is being used more and 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 more. I don't want to scare you, okay? Because I do think we got some really great kids here, okay? We got some really great kids here. As a matter of fact, most of the kids here, this will never even be a thing they bat their eye at, okay? So as much as I do want you to go home and talk to your kids, okay, don't go home and like turn the floodlight on them, you know, turn all the lights out except one and play good cop and bad cop, you know. What is this app you got on your phone? Mom, it's just ESPN. I promise. I'm just checking scores. Is it another app that's hidden under? No. Promise. Mom, that's just the text messaging app. I can't even take that one off if I wanted to. Okay, so I do want you to talk to your kids, but believe me, most of your kids here, none of those things that I just talked about are even a problem. However, this is a problem. And this isn't just teenagers. This is grown men and women. We are some of the worst social media users on the face of the planet. Grown men and women turn into 13-year-old kids when they get to a keyboard. It's frightening. I've seen friendships ended, 20-year friendships ended over a Facebook post. Are you joking me? I've seen arguments break out over something that was retweeted. I can't believe you'd retweet that. What? I've seen people get absolutely upset, bent out of shape, that so-and-so from church didn't like their Instagram post. I can't believe they didn't like my... Really? So let me try, if I can, to share with you what I call the 9 ugly truths about social media. Now, a buddy of mine came up with this list, and he and I have kind of worked on it the last few months. If you remember Philip Jenkins that came and spoke at our area wide last year, Philip came up with this list, and he and I have kind of been working the bugs out of it, so to speak. He shared it with some of his teenagers, and I adapted it for our class tonight. And there's some really ugly things that go on social media in the church. And hopefully, something that I say tonight at least maybe tries to help you in that regard. First of all, just because you have a voice doesn't mean everybody needs to hear it all the time. I have a feeling that if you really could, you could probably amen that really loud. Some of you, you'd be like, yeah. I mean, you got people in mind already, right? Come on, don't lie. You got people in mind. You're like, you know what? If they post one more thing, that's it. We're not friends anymore. Just keep in mind, Proverbs 13:3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Yeah, you got a voice. Absolutely you do. You got the freedom of speech to say whatever you want. But just because you have the right doesn't mean you need to use it all the time. Maybe that's an issue for some people. I don't know. Just because you have a freedom of speech, a laptop, a phone, doesn't mean you need to be opening your mouth. Number 2, just because someone's acting like an idiot doesn't give you the right to treat them like one. I can't help but with the things that have been in the news lately. I'm not a Cam Newton hater, okay? He's not my favorite player in the world, but I don't dislike the guy. I think he's an immensely talented person. But I will tell you this. He acted like an idiot on Sunday night and acted like a bigger idiot yesterday. But you know what? You're not going to see me go to Facebook and write some big long posts about Cam Newton. You're not going to see me go to Twitter and use my 140 characters to blast Cam Newton out of the water. Cam Newton's a 26-year-old young man who lost the biggest football game of his entire life. And then quoted, Bear Bryant and Vince Lombardi as his defense. Yeah, show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. That was his response. 26-year-old boy. Now, he can play football now. Don't take that away from him. I get really irritated. I got really irritated come Monday when all I saw was how bad of a person he was simply based off of what he had done after the football game Sunday night. And I thought about how many of those same people on Saturday when their favorite football team loses, throw an ever-loving fit and act like a petulant, spoiled child. But yet they were the first ones to go to social media and call out Cam Newton. Huh? Number three, I'll try to hurry through these last few. Retweeting or sharing is repeating. It's basically like you said what they said. So understand that when you repeat something, you're now on the hook for whatever the whatever comes from it. Whatever the consequences are of what was said, you're now on the hook for it because you shared it, you retweeted it. Listen, there are plenty of things that I like and I agree with that I don't share, like, or retweet because it's just simply unwise. One other thing is, don't just retweet or share something without examining who it is that you're retweeting or sharing from. Jesus made a comment one time about fresh water and salt water coming from the same spring and how that was impossible and shouldn't happen. So you might really like something that person writes, but when you look at their username and their photo, it's probably not something you want to share. Number four, some people are addicted to drama. Don't be! Stop it! There's a great Bob Newhart sketch several years ago on Saturday Night Live where he was a psychiatrist and his only advice to every single person that called was stop it. Mr. Newhart, I feel really bad about that. I lost my job. Well, stop it. Mr. Newhart, I have an issue with this. Well, stop it. This is one, if I could just go and shake some people, this is the one. You're addicted. Stop it! If it's drama, don't share it. Don't comment on it. Don't make it bigger. Some people are addicted to drama. Don't be. Number five, your feelings can be so, so, so very wrong. Emotions are intended to be information, not instruction to act. Got it? By the way, that's said directly into the mirror for Scott to hear, okay? So, emotions are intended to be information, not instruction to act. Your feelings can be so very wrong. Number six, is it really all about you? I don't understand. I'm blown away at how people can take everything they do and turn it into a monologue about their greatness. It blows me away. The selfie generation is alive and well, even in the church. You want to take a picture of yourself? Go right ahead. You won't see me stopping you. But when everything that you do, say, share, retweet, like, etc., is all about you, then we got a problem. Number seven, just because you read something doesn't make it true. How many times have we seen people that have shared articles and you go, wait a minute. That's not even true. And they're going, this is so sad. I can't believe this happened. Let me give you one quick example. On an article that was sponsored by The Onion. If you don't know what The Onion is, it's a satirical newspaper. Basically, just makes up articles all the time. Here's what it says. If you were obsessed with Beanie Babies in the 90s, get ready to fall in love all over again. Because the spider eggs they use to fill your favorite Beanie Babies are beginning to hatch. Collectors all over the country have been reporting that the long-awaited day has finally arrived with brown recluse spiderlings bursting through the seams of Beanie Babies everywhere. And guess what? It got over 1,000 shares on Facebook. Really quickly, the last two. Number eight, everybody sees it. Just let that stand where it stands. Everybody sees it. Number nine, most importantly, you can't block Jesus from seeing it. You can hide it from a lot of people. You can't hide it from Him. I hope that tonight has not been a chew session. I don't want it to be that way. I never intended for it to be that. I wanted you to get some information tonight. Some information that's uncomfortable to hear sometimes. Because all of us would love to believe that every kid everywhere, every adult everywhere would act responsibly, would be held accountable and would understand that accountability when they post things, say things, use things. But you and I both know that this is a fallen creation, it's a fallen world, and that's not possible. Ultimately, as a Christian, you have to make the decision about whether or not these things are helpful in your spiritual walk. Or if they're hurtful. If they're hurtful, then they need to go. my biggest question is, why can't we use these things for positive things? Why can't we as Christians find ways to use these things for positive things? And if we can, look at how much change you could affect on the world. I appreciate your attention tonight. I know that tonight was not necessarily your typical Wednesday night Bible lesson, but I hope that it's been helpful to you and it's been beneficial to you as you go about your time as parents, grandparents, etc. Thank you very much.